Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome back to the Shed and the 868 program with me, Jesus. I hope you're having a wonderful time wherever in the world you may be, whatever time it may be there. So today's episode on the 18s, on the 23s, not doing so good. Women and the men riding high. Talk about that and much, much more, all in today's episode of the number one Chelsea podcast in Trinidad and Tobago. So without much further ado, let's get straight into today's episode. How are you feeling? How are you feeling, Chelsea fans? How are you feeling going into the international break on top, leading the table with 16 points? Just because of the results of the Liverpool City game, that draw, it leaves us with 7 games played, 5 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss, 15 goals scored forward, 3 goals conceded against, with a goal difference of 12. And those 3 goals, 2 are penalties. One was from the defeat, unfortunately, to Man City. So we're looking very good heading into this international break. Before we get into the game itself against Southampton, let's see how things look for the under-18s, the under-23s, and the women. So with the under-18s, they lost 2-1 to West Ham on the second. Yeah, they got their second consecutive defeat, as a Webster goal was a consolation, having gone 2 goals down by the 29th minute, including a penalty. All three goals came in the first half of the game. So the Hammers put a dent in that idea that the Junior Blues thought that they would be back onto winning ways. So they have a long break, as they will resume on the 23rd versus Fulham, eager to get back on that streak. So the under-18s back-to-back losses, first time this season. Momentum, just get a little sting out of it. We're in fourth place, season still young, it's only the sixth game. So they have the time and the space as well, and the talent to bounce back and return to how they started the season with all that vigor and venom. Now, it didn't get much better for the under-23s though, and it's one of those hard losses. A 5-minute penalty was just the deciding goal when they came up against Blackburn. So that 1-0, yeah, the under-23s 1-0 lost to Blackburn, Sam Burns scoring the goal that sank the boys. And the thing that was the end of it, no. Things just went from bad to worse. As Xavier Simons was shown his second yellow card and sent off in the 70th minute, forcing us to finish with 10 men. So the defenders' rash behavior already compounding what has been a rough start to the season, as we currently sit 12th on 5 points after 7 games. And with Derby County coming up when they resume on the 16th, we can only just hope for an improvement from Andy Myers' boys. 1 win in our last 4 games does not look good. I don't know what decision will be made, but something definitely needs to be addressed. So we have about 12, 13 days to catch back a rhythm, to see what's going on, to see what it is that causes us to lose control. 1-0 is always a hard, loss, because you'll be thinking about what if you should have shoot instead of pass, if you should have pass instead of shoot, and you know how the only things are school, if I should have made this pass instead of that pass, made that tackle. So we definitely will look to see how the boys bounce back. The international break, however, runs from the 4th to the 12th. So there'll be no Premier League football until the 16th. Right? The women on the 18s and the 23s will have their games as normal. So that's it for the under 23s, the under 18s. 2 losses there, combining with a total of 3-1. Conceded 3, scored 1 between the under 18s and the under 23s. after such a promising start in the 18s, for me, it's a bit underwhelming what's going on right now. The under 23s have gotten their defensive leakiness under a bit of control. It's just to turn that defensive stability into attacking prowess, and we would definitely see us shoot right back to the top of the table where we belong. On to the women. Steve Kerr, sorry, I don't know why I said Steve Kerr. Basketball is what man, I'm watching my Warriors jersey here. Sam Kerr and Bethany England, once again on the score sheets, after right 10 opened the scoring on the 9th, with the aforementioned ladies scoring in the 38th and 80th minute respectively, capping off what has been a wonderful few weeks for the ladies, as they have been successful in their FA Cup game as well as their previous league games also. This result keeps us in the top 4, third place with 9 points. So it's been a wonderful momentum, you know, getting back on streak after this. The only stumble we've had thus far, knock on wood, has been the Arsenal game. So when they resume, they play Wolfsburg in the first ever Women's Champions League group stage game. That will be on the 6th of this month. So definitely a history making game. So we'll definitely take that in, see how the, you know, see how the thing run. It's going to be interesting to watch that, you know. And after that, in the league, we have Leicester on the 10th of the 10th. So maybe the 10-10 bring us some more luck. You know, so hopefully could go again. You know, keep the momentum flowing, especially in the Champions League after we had that run to the final and, you know, stumble a bit. Yeah, we didn't win. The Barcelona team was just a bit more well organized on the pitch than all ladies, but hopefully we bounce back and retain what has been a wonderful past few weeks for us. I go all the way to lifting that trophy for the ladies and them, with Emma Haynes doing such a wonderful job. And before I continue with the men, that's something I've made an episode about. It's something I've asked other people as well, not just with Chelsea, but across the board. If and when, I would say it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. I believe that a woman would coach a senior men's team in one of Europe's top 5 leagues. It's just a matter of when. One of the main issues I would assume would be the how to deal with the egos of these players, of some of these players. And I think that would be the biggest issue, in fact, for any coach. One of the candidates who can make that leap from the women's game to the men's game is Emma Haynes. And I have spoken about that in a previous episode. And I think it's something that needs to be discussed more and needs to be viewed at in a more in-depth, you know, not just to say, well, yeah, she's good, but that is the women's league. Okay, but there are men who coach the women's team as well, and won't, if they got the chance or if they are good enough, the only thing that they will get the call to come and coach a senior men's team in the top 5. So I think we should remove that that bias. I don't want to say discrimination, but that bias, and give the best candidate the job. You know, whatever sex they are, whether they're male or female, doesn't matter. You know, and I will stick by Emma Haynes should be a Chelsea coach, Chelsea men's team coach. I would stick by that. I would stick with my guns with that. I'm not saying no. But if she remains, and, you know, let me say how much ever years down the road and she's still here and she wants to, and she, the opportunity arises for the jump, I think you should give her a chance. And I think it would be a very progressive move by by Chelsea to do something like that. I don't know what if there's something stopping it, but I think it's something that can be and should be looked at. Right? So, the men again. Recapping off what has been a wonderful spell. And to sing, all of mine, this song, I can't sing it, so I just can't say this still. They can't keep a good man down. Always keep a smile when they want you to frown. That's the only thing I could think of that was going through the mind of Saturday's man of the match. Yeah, Timo. That's the only thing. I mean, the man was everywhere. The man was doing as much as possible. And he played with a man on a mission. You know? Sheer fucking will. That is what he played as. You know, he scored a goal that took it back. I think maybe the ball went outside. No, it's not that. I think maybe Lukaku may have pushed the defender down. No, it's not that. It was Azpilicueta and what's his name? Walker Peters. And the thing is that according to the referees, when you watch the review, Azpilicueta clipped his heels. But before the league started, first of all, the defender didn't even complain. He did not complain, which means that what was seen on the monitor, what actually happened, are two different things. It may look like what, but two different things. Before the season started this year, there was a meeting between the managers and the referees association, I believe. And Kotuka was speaking about it, Thomas Tuchel was speaking about it, and he said that the soft, quote-unquote, soft fouls would be, the flow of the game for soft fouls, and get back to what Tuchel calls the English football. That what they did there, again, compounds what a lot of Chelsea fans speak of when we say that there's a clear bias against Chelsea. There is no way that if they talk about leaving soft tackles and this comes and be called. Now, I'm not saying VAR is not supposed to watch every instance. I love that. They have it almost like how basketball, NFL, NHL, rugby, these things are. Something, a goal scored, or review the immediate instances, see if it had anything illegal happened before the goal scored. I have no problem with VAR becoming a video assessment referee. So they're assessing, continuously assessing. I have no problem with that. But the soft tackle, there is no way that something like that, where the defender doesn't even complain, that is called a foul and the goal is taken back. But he came and got his deserved goal in the 84th minute. And it just goes to show that Timo Werner is effectively, since Thomas Tuchel has taken over especially, he has the most goal involvement since Tuchel took over. So I'll say it again. I'll say it again for those of you in the back who didn't hear it. Since Thomas Tuchel took over at Chelsea, no one has been involved in goals more than Timo Werner. The 8. 5 assists and 3 goals. So what does that tell you? I don't know. What does that tell you? The man is doing exactly what he does, and also his runs off the ball, but something you can't really, there's no metric, no statistic, no tangible way to, that I've seen, that we can really check that, you know. So he has been very impactful. Even if you watch it when Frank was there, it was the same thing. So he got it. He got his goal after they fight him down. Then, well, Lukaku scored. It was offside. That was offside. So we scored two. One was correctly called, and one was controversially overturned, and we still came back and scored two as the bad day at the office for Ben Chilwell was finished off on a positive note, with him getting what I would say the sequence of events for the goal to score was just remarkable. Off the post, and then Chilwell hits it. It looks as though it was saved brilliantly, and it went over the line. So it was good. You know, the third goal was something spectacular. For me, the moment in the game that stood out for me was Barkley's cameo. That pass that he made to Azpilicueta, who in turn fed the ball to Werner to score, that pass was remarkable. To me, that shows what Barkley has, which is like the most dangerous thing as any athlete or sports personnel can have to me, which is potential. Everybody has potential to be anything. Whether are you willing to put the hard work in to become that? That's the thing. And he has that potential. So I don't know, maybe he goes on loan or be sold in January. But he has definitely, or he may stay as a squad player, because he has definitely shown that he comes on, if he comes on for last, 15, 20, 25 minutes, he has the ability to do the dirty work in the middle, so to say. But it definitely was a peach of a pass from Barkley. And he bit by bit, he shows that, you know, Now, we had Chalaban scoring in the 9th minute to start up things, to start up proceedings, with a header that I would say was very well taken, spectacular, dipping low, getting it, eyes on the ball. It was good. It was a very good it's a very good goal for the young man. And again, he played so versatile in the position that he was given to start in, alongside starting with Loftus-Cheek, who got his overdue start in the league. We looked good. We looked good for some spells. Then we looked a little shaky. You know, as I said in the last game, the last episode, since we sold Abraham, Mohamed has scored against us, Jesus has scored against us, and we're coming up against the Saints. So it was a bit nerve-wracking, especially when we got that penalty courtesy of Ben Chilwell by the former Chelsea man, Livermento. Chilwell didn't have a good day at all. He was not good at all on the left. There were some instances where Tuchel was shouting behind him. There was a pass that Cho played, and he was not in the space. I don't know what it is, but Chilwell, I mean, last season, he was good. He was making the runs, everything, and then the Euros came around. I don't know if it is that he didn't, or he didn't play as often. Maybe that stifled him. I don't know, but he hasn't looked himself, and he got the starting nod. And again, he didn't cement his place in my eyes, and he didn't, and I'm sure a lot of Chelsea fans' eyes. And he also didn't give Tuchel too much headache when it comes to who to start. So it definitely was not a very good day at the office. He capped it off with a goal. Not going to lie. Capped it off with a wonderful goal. But this game had everything. Red card. Ward-Prowse. Now, Ward-Prowse was so... He literally went from hero to villain for the Saints. I'm not saying to me it's a bad thing, but the manner in which he got the red card, that was a hell of a tackle on Jorginho. That could have definitely ended his season. It was not bad as it initially looked, but when you watch it at normal speed, and I mean not bad as it looked because Jorginho got up and it wasn't no need for him to leave the field to seek medical treatment, so that's why I say that. I'm saying it didn't look as bad as it because of that. But in normal speed, it was horrendous. And I don't know how come he didn't get a red card immediately. He came from behind, studs up over the ankle. That definitely could have left some serious damage on Jorginho. You know, so thankfully he didn't He didn't get it. He didn't get a need for medical treatment off the field. So this goal that he scored in the penalty, what pros, puts us at 3 goals conceded, 2 penalties. Remember last week I was speaking about the 15 goals conceded under the Jose Mourinho spell? The parallels are there. This was 2 penalties and our own goal. The parallels are there. Don't worry. We'll see. We'll see if the premonition I have comes to fruition. Hopefully it does. Hopefully we beat it by 1 goal and we end up on 14 goals to win the title. Just proving again, you know, the masterful, wonderful team that we have. You know. Hudson Odoi. I find he played good. He played good. The forward plays with him was good, taking the ball, traveling up with him. But he holding the ball just a bit too long. There's an instance where he was running forward and was him, Lukaku, and Werner. Werner was making diagonal run across the box with Lukaku behind. But Werner cut across and Lukaku would have been either gone central or go to the right a bit. And Cho went straight to goal. I don't know what he saw when he was there. From his eyesight, I don't know what he saw. But that's what I'm saying. He just held the ball just a little too long. But it was a wonderful, it was a great performance. It was a good, very, very good, just short of great performance from Cho. Again, he played with a man like a man on a mission. He did what he has to do. And him being at Chelsea still provides us with that opportunity to have players to come off the bench to change the game at any moment. And talking about change the game in any moment, the man who literally did that and could have scored with like what, his 6th touch of the ball was double M, not Marcel Montano, Mason Mount. You know, he came on and almost instantly the game went from what, level 7 to level 9. It went up both from 6 to 9. It just jumped up one time. He definitely had an impact and showed what we was missing in the Juventus game and in the Man City game. But as he passed, we learn, we move on. We came today, we scored 3 goals against the Saints at home. Some people will say, oh, it's 10 men only play. Okay, Liverpool didn't beat us and we had 10 men. So what is the next thing I'm going to say? It's only Southampton. They are a Premier League tie. They are a Premier League team. At the end of the day, we beat them. It's not our fault that they went down to 10 men. You know? But the game was a good game. Lineup was excellent in my book. I'm going to give Tuchel the opportunity to see what all these players have. And he, once again, it has shown that we still need tightening up in areas. As it's only been the 7th game, we still need tightening up. When we come back from the international break, our first game is on the 16th versus Brentford, the Bees. So yeah, a local, you know, a London derby. It's going to be, we are playing at them, so it's definitely going to be bouncing at the Bees. So we're going to come, Tuchel's going to sit. He has asked for some cameras to be installed around the stadium for the training to see what's going on, to send back all the information directly, immediately and directly back to the training staff so they could do the analysis and whatnot. So they're not using the drones. You don't want to use the drones, you want to use the cameras. So again, it's wonderful. I'm not going to lie. It's a wonderful take and it shows that he knows where areas need tightening up. Chilwell needs to get his head back in the game. Hopefully he does. I don't know what his issue is. Kayan, Hakim, Ziyech, they are a bit, you know, and again with them, I don't know what it is. But they, according to Tuchel, they're 100%. No one's guaranteed a spot, so everybody has to work for their spot. And Kayan Havertz, we have seen a couple games, they're not there, but the talent is there. So we definitely have all this here. Me, given what I've seen, especially in that game against the Saints, given what I've seen there, Chalaban is very versatile. We've seen that. center back, defensive midfielder. We could play him with, because he has that energy. We could play him Loftus-Cheek with Akante, Alonso, James when he comes back, but James coming back quite December most likely. So Cho may have to play there. We have Aspi, Thiago, Rudiger, Christiansen. And then on top, we have immense talent on top. We have immense talent all wrong. Our weakest point will be, as of now, left back. Because it's just Chilwell. And, sorry, not left back. Left wing back. Because right now we just have Chilwell, Alonso. Aspilicueta could run there. We left back, we played, but maybe he could run there. Who knows? Right, on the right, to me, it's just true. We have to cover. Or if you pass Aspilicueta, you put Chalaban as a centre back. So we have players for multiple positions and positions available to multiple players. We need to strengthen up a few places. And we've seen the ball, the issue with the balls from the middle to the front, having us that delay before. We've seen that delay. But it has changed in this game. We've seen where Tuchel has been working with that and on that. And from the first game to the seventh game, we've seen a drastic improvement, especially, in fact, from our last two games to this game, we've seen a drastic improvement in the delivery from middle to front. We've seen Vernon and Lukaku linking up well. I read somewhere that Vernon could play with Lukaku, but Lukaku hasn't learned to play with Vernon as yet. I don't think that was the case in this game. Maybe the decision making by Vernon sometimes is not the right one. I saw him took the ball and try to go in left and then try to cut back to not make the defender to go right. It didn't work out then. If it had worked out, it would have been wonderful, but it didn't work out there. But he didn't keep his head, he didn't drop his head, he kept his head up. Him and Lukaku on top there looking good. We can only go from better here. We can only go from strength to strength here. Because, you know, as I say, we come back here, we have Brentford on the 16th, then we have Malmo on the 20th, Norwich on the 23rd, and wrapping things up in the end of October, we have Southampton in League Cup, and then that's the 26th, and then Newcastle on the 30th. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games in October. We already played our first one. But 6 games we had, but we have 5 games. International break. Then we have another international break in November. And then we come back to the busy end of the year, which is the December performances. So there's room for improvement all around. There is room and space for players who want to be on the team, as Tuchel has made it clear. And there is just room to go up again. Cool. So we go into the international break on top. You know, we go in, everybody studying how to reach us. We are studying how to extend that bridge between us. It's just 1 point. It's just 1 point as of right now. But we want to expand that. We want it to go, we want it to be more. We want it to be 10. We want it to be 12. We want to win the league. We're going to win the league. That's just as plain and as I could say it right now. We're going to win the league. Hands down. So that is it for me today. Remember, as always, remember the game. Remember the aim. And never let anybody forget the name. So you have a good and wonderful one. I'll see you. I will speak to you very, very soon.